Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Kings chapter 18, and there are 46 verses in this chapter, and we'll probably do all translation, so you'll have to read along in your King James Version, and then you'll be able to receive the translation as well. Then also we have two letters. One of them is from the United States, another one from India, and the other one from Africa. And that's three letters, praise the Lord. Now we also have a part six of receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ in the first series in this these lessons. Let's ask the Lord to anoint this tape, anoint the reading of His Word, Father, because we know that the Spirit bringeth forth life, but the letter kills. And Lord, anoint the translation and the commentary. Let everything that is done on this tape be anointed of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone says amen. All right, Michelle, let's go ahead. Where's the first letter from?
From Noble, Oklahoma.
All right.
Dear beloved Pastor Alamo, many thanks be unto God for your great world newsletters. I thank God I can be a part of this great last crusade for human souls by helping to distribute the Lord's gospel literature. I cannot put into words, sir, the help I have received from your literature. What a great honor and blessing to be able to help distribute them. With this opportunity, we can obtain mercy as we sow it. God be merciful to me and us. Thank you, sir. God bless you more and more. Yours in Christ, F.S. from Noble, Oklahoma.
Praise the Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you'll give more and more zeal to all the distributors and keep your power upon them in Jesus' name. Then what? The next letter is from where?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
Dear brother in Christ, Pastor Tony Alamo, praise the Lord. Greetings in the name of Jesus. I, Isaac, am pastor's fellow president in a rural area, preaching the word of God since 1990 and doing gospel work independently. Now we are a team of 20 members doing gospel work in the most rural and tribal areas in Andhra and Orissa border. Traveling facilities are not available to these areas. We go by walking every day about 40 kilometers. We preach the word of God through your Alamo World newsletters and Messiah books. We are thankful for your newsletters. After fasting, we took your letter and books to these tribal areas. As the people are uneducated, we preached the word of God, showing them the newsletters and Messiah books. Many of them took baptism and believed in Jesus. We are sorry for the delay of our report to your ministry, but we are in prayers for your ministry. The gospel work of your ministry, of preaching the word of God throughout the world, is in memorial. We have started a children's orphanage in the tribal area. The people are too poor and lack proper shelter, clothing, and food. We are running this orphanage in sophisticated circumstances. We request you to kindly pray for our orphanage. In these rural and tribal areas, worship is going on in thatched sheds. We are facing many problems in unfavorable climatic conditions. Pray for our churches. We are glad and interested to preach the word of God through your ministry. Yours in Christ, Pastor J. Isaac from Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right. Where's the next letter coming? This is just beautiful things to hear. Amen. That the gospel is out all over the world. Then what?
From Malawi, Africa. Dear Pastor Alamo, on behalf of the New Birth Ministries, and indeed on my behalf, I would like to thank you for the tracts and literature you sent to us. We received all the literatures you sent, and may I now say thank you. Your literatures have assisted us so much in our youth ministry, and many people have been converted and transformed, especially Muslims and Roman Catholics. We, too, have enjoyed those literatures, as we have been evangelizing in hospitals, prisons, bus stations, and at open-air evangelism. Therefore, I am hereby requesting for 20 Messiah books, taped messages, 20 Bibles, and more literature in order to achieve our mission statement, which is to win the lost souls and to equip the youth to be rooted with the Word of God and see them transformed into fully devoted followers of Christ the Messiah. We do hope that you're going to send us those requests as soon as possible. Here in Zamba, Malawi, the youth have been blessed through reading your testimonies, and we do believe that the Lord will continue to shine on your face all the time. Pastor, may you include our ministry in your mailing list, as you will still provide literature to your fellow believers. We are still praying for you sincerely in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless you, your fellow laborers in the field, FCP from Malawi, Africa.
All right, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Thank you, Michelle. And now Sharon, my wife Sharon, for 1 Kings chapter 18, 46 verses. Let's do a couple of King James, and then we'll go right into the translation.
Elisha throws the contest on Mount Carmel. This is in Haifa, Israel, and that's where the cave of Elijah is. King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying...
I might add that the people in Israel state that Elijah was taken up in the chariot right from Mount Carmel in Haifa, Israel, and I stayed there sometime, not in the cave, but in a hotel there. There's the Haifa Hilton on top. All right, then what else?
Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Verse 2. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria.
Okay.
Translation, verse 1. Elijah throws a contest on Mount Carmel. After many months, in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, quote, go, present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain! Exclamation mark. Verse 2. So Elijah went to appear before Ahab. Meanwhile, the famine had become very severe in Samaria. Verse 3. So Ahab summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Bracket. Now Obadiah was a devoted follower of the Lord and feared him very much. And bracket. Verse 4. Once when Jezebel had tried to kill all the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had hidden 100 of them in two caves. He had put 50 prophets in each cave and had supplied them with food and water. Verse 5. Ahab said to Obadiah, quote, we must check every spring and valley to see if we can find enough grass to save at least some of my horses and mules. Unquote. Verse 6. So they divided the land between them. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Verse 7. As Obadiah was walking along, he saw Elijah coming toward him. Obadiah recognized him at once and fell to the ground before him. Quote, is it really you, my lord Elijah? He asked. Verse 8, quote, yes it is, Elijah replied. Now go and tell your master I am here. Unquote. Verse 9, quote, oh sir, Obadiah protested, what harm have I done to you that you are sending me to my death at the hands of Ahab? Verse 10, for I swear by the Lord your God that the king has searched every nation and kingdom on earth from end to end to find you. And each time when he was told Elijah isn't here, King Ahab forced the king of that nation to swear to the truth of his claim. Verse 11, and now you say, go tell your master that Elijah is here! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 12, but as soon as I leave you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you away to who knows where. When Ahab comes and cannot find you, he will kill me. Yet I have been a true servant of the Lord all my life. Verse 13. Has no one told you, my Lord, about the time when Jezebel was trying to kill the Lord's prophets? I hid 100 of them in two caves and supplied them with food and water. Verse 14. And now you say, go and tell your master that Elijah is here! Exclamation mark. Sir, if I do that, I'm as good as dead! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 15, but Elijah said, quote, I swear by the Lord Almighty, in whose presence I stand, that I will present myself to him today, unquote. Verse 16, so Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet him. Verse 17, quote, so it's you, isn't it, Israel's troublemaker, unquote, Ahab asked him when he saw him. Verse 18, quote, I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers.
All right, I have not been the one that troubled Israel. You're the one. This is boldness, because this man, Elijah, had clear direction from the Lord. He wasn't worried about a thing, because God always promises his people total protection if you have boldness and you speak up like a man or a woman of God. Anyone that is fearful and doesn't believe what the Lord says, that means fearful and unbelieving, you are going to spend eternity with the homosexuals, the adulterers, the fornicators, the thieves, and all the demons that are going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire, and Satan himself. And so it doesn't pay to not have clear direction from the Lord. Now, this Elijah had clear direction, and those of us who are in the Lord, we have clear direction as well. I've told you of a circumstance where I got a warning from the Lord, get out of this place within the next 5 minutes or you'll be killed. And so I told everybody in the apartment house, the apartment that we were in, I said, and there were several brothers, and I said, just pack everything, throw everything in the sheets and or blankets, and that you want to take with you. We only have 2 minutes to get out of here, because I didn't want them. And they, I was trained in Company 869 in the Navy, which was a meatball company. That means a 4-0 company, a perfect company. And we learned to get up, make our bed, put on our uniform, our leggings, and everything, and be out on the grinder, which is a place where you march, at standing at parade rest with our M1 within 1 minute. And that's why it's very hard for me to see people that slug it and just don't respond instantly to instructions. But this man, and that's the way the Lord wants. He wants people to immediately receive what he says. And if you do that, well, then you don't. You can go up to the person that you might, or most people might, most fear in the world, and you can just be as bold as Elijah was. He says, this king says, so you're the one that troubles Israel. He says, no. You're the one that troubles Israel. Let's continue on. I love that kind of boldness. Men that are so effeminate that they don't speak up, I do not respect them. I tell, and God does not respect you either. So the thing that you need to do is start growing up, and growing up in the Lord, that is, the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which we're doing the messages of right now, and be bold. The righteous are bold as lions, but the wicked people are timid and flee when no one pursues. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, the righteous are bold as lions. They're not afraid of anything. Because the only way we can be bold is to know that the Lord, we have clear direction from the Lord. Okay, then what?
I have made no trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commandments of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead.
Ooh wee, how many people in this world have that kind of boldness that could go up to a tyrant and tell them something like that? A tyrant that's been known for killing Christians, people that believe in God. And back then, people were Christians as well. They had to believe in the coming of Christ before he came, and we have to believe in Christ after he came. So everybody in the whole world had to look either forward to the cross or backward to it. All right, then what?
Verse 19. Now bring all the people of Israel to Mount Carmel with all 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel.
Now, Elijah is telling this king what to do, just like I do. All right, then what?
Verse 20. So Ahab summoned all the people and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Verse 21. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, quote, how long are you going to waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him! Exclamation mark.
So he's saying to all these 450 prophets and Ahab as well, now if the Lord is what?
Is God.
Then
follow
what?
Him.
Then?
But if Baal is God, then follow him! Exclamation mark.
Right, so he's directing all these supposed to be prophets, the false prophets, also. This is internal fortitude. Amen?
Amen.
Intestinal fortitude. Okay, in other words, guts. In other words, it really doesn't take guts once you know that the Lord has told you to do something and that nothing, no harm will happen to you. Well, then you don't, it's not guts anymore, it's just faith in God. Amen?
Amen.
Trusting God. Now, that's what we must do in order to have life eternal. It's real trust in God, not to just get among a bunch of Christians and clap your hand and praise the Lord and sing songs. Because that doesn't take any intestinal fortitude or spiritual guts. That doesn't necessitate you having a strong hold on God to obey the things that He tells you to do that no one else on earth would do. All right, now go right ahead.
But the people were completely silent. Verse 22. Then Elijah said to them.
So the people, meaning the false prophets, were silent. They said, well, you know, this is a deal. How come Hiram is letting this guy come over here and talk to us like this? And how is he able to talk down to Ahab like this, the king? Okay, because we figured that he would be killed by now. Then what?
Quote, I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Verse 23. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose which one they wish, and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of the altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood on the altar, but not set fire to it. Verse 24. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God! Exclamation mark, unquote.
Right, now this is really, he definitely got strong direction from the Lord in order to put a deal together like that, to propose anything like that. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that means he has to have very clear direction. Okay, then what?
And all the people agreed.
And that clear direction is available today for anyone that serves the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, like Elijah did. It's there, but if you don't believe it, you'll never receive it. Then what?
Verse 25. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, quote, you go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it, and call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood. Unquote. Verse 26. So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal all morning, shouting, quote, O Baal, answer us! Exclamation mark, unquote. But there was no reply of any kind.
Because there's only one God, and that's the Lord God Almighty who created heaven and earth and all the things therein. Okay, then what?
Then they danced wildly around the altar they had made. Verse 27. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. Quote, you'll have to shout louder, he scoffed, for surely he is a god! Exclamation mark.
See, now, people would think that, oh, how could he be a man of God because he's talking down to the false prophets, those nice guys. And today, the New World Order, which is not new at all, is the old devil cult in Rome and through that has connected himself and others have connected themselves through, like the United Methodists and the United Presbyterians, the United Baptists, and all these United organizations have united themselves with the Antichrist, and they are saying, you know, all these sort of things. If they're with the Antichrist, it doesn't make any difference how many of them have united together. They have no power whatsoever, and just a handful of us will be able to call on God, and be able, when He tells us to do something, we'll have the confidence to be able to do whatever He says, and trust in Him that He will perform that when we hire Him to do it. Well, what do you mean, hire God? When we call upon God to come down and help us and tell us what to do, Lord, that's like appealing for Him to come and help you. Amen?
Amen.
So, in other words, He's not our servant, but we're His servants, but He helps us, and he tells us what to do, and then he says he'll start the fire. Amen?
Amen.
And that these people, of course, will not be able, 450 prophets will not be able to start the fire. But just one little Elijah is telling them all what to do, and the fire will start. God will come down and start that fire. So now he's mocking these people. And as I mock the false prophets in the world today, and people just think I'm so nasty. Well, you would have thought Jesus was nasty too. He called the false prophets, the false the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He called them snakes and vipers. And he called all those that don't do what he says, that have known the Lord and fall away from the Lord, he calls them pigs and dogs. Dogs that have gone back to their wallowing in the going back to their vomit, and pigs that have gone back to their wallowing in the mire. Amen?
Amen.
You're like a dog that's gone back to the vomit, if you know the truth and then you don't do it. And then you're like a hog that's like in the mud and just wallowing around. Do you think that God's going to take dogs and hogs into heaven? Or homosexuals, or lesbians, or fornicators, or adulteresses, anyone that's disobedient to God? No, because God couldn't use you. The only way that God can use you is if you're obedient to him, and then he'll start communicating with you, and you'll have clear direction from him. He has to know what to do. He may not call you to go to 450 prophets, false prophets, and set a bonfire and burn up burnt offerings, because there's no such thing as burnt offerings these days. The Jews haven't had a burnt offering for hundreds of years. And the Bible plainly tells us that there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And so they're all in their sins because they reject the blood sacrifice of the Messiah, the blood that Christ, the living God, Christ with his Father by the Spirit, died on the cross at Calvary and gave up the Spirit and went to hell and ascended out of hell. And you say, well, how could he be in hell and up in heaven at the same time? It's because God can be anywhere he wants to be and everywhere at the same time. But as a matter of fact, he can be in millions or billions of people and still be sitting in heaven. Because we can be here on earth and have Christ the Father with the Father by the Spirit in us, and still we can be sitting spiritually with him in heavenly places. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's continue on here.
Perhaps he is deep in thought, or he is relieving himself.
He's still mocking. He's relieving himself. Maybe he's going to the bathroom, in other words. That's what he's saying. Elijah's saying, maybe your God is in the bathroom right now, in the baño. Relieving himself. That's the Bible. Does that in this world of reprobates and reprobates that are lusting every minute and into pornography, does that offend you that Elijah would say maybe he's in the bathroom? Oh my God. All right, then what?
Or maybe he's away on a trip, or he is asleep and needs to be wakened, !
Our God never sleeps.
Amen.
He's ever present. He's very vibrant. He hears and knows everything. All right? You sleep. You don't know much at all, and you don't know anything if you don't know the Lord. Then what else?
Verse 28. So they shouted louder, and following their normal customs, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out.
Like that would help them. Oh, see, our God, you know, you phony God, because we're cutting ourselves, please do something. Have mercy on us so we can show that you're the real God. But he wasn't, so he never answered. I guess he was in the bathroom. Okay, then what else?
Verse 29.
Maybe in the outhouse, all right? Okay, what else?
They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but still there was no reply, no voice, no answer. Verse 30, then Elijah called to the people, quote, come over here, ! They all crowded around him as he prepared the altar of the Lord that had been, they all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. Verse 31, he took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel. verse 32, and he used the stones to rebuild the Lord's altar. Then he dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 3 gallons. Verse 33, he piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, quote, fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood, unquote. Verse 34, after they had done this, he said, quote, do the same thing again, exclamation mark, unquote. And when they had finished, he said, quote, now do it a third time, exclamation mark.
Now pour more water on the fire. You can't have a good fire without a lot of water on top of the wood, you know. That's what Elijah's saying. Just goofing on them. Then what? On their stupidity and on their lack of faith in God. Then what?
So they did as he said. Verse 35.
Now that was quite a thing back then because water was pretty scarce in those days. Amen?
Amen.
So it's like pouring liquid gold on there. All right. But Elijah trusted that God would be able to provide more water one of these days. Amen?
Amen.
So then what?
And the water ran around the altar and even overflowed the trench. Verse 36. At the customary time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, quote, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command.
Yeah, so see, he had been told to do that. He had expressed 100%, 110% direction from God. That's what made him so bold. And you could be bold, too, if the Lord told you things like that. But don't expect him to tell you anything unless you first trust his word and believe his word and do what his word says. All right, then what?
Verse 37. O Lord, answer me, exclamation mark. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself, unquote. Verse 38. Immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the ditch! Exclamation mark. Verse 39. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and cried out, quote, the Lord is God! Exclamation mark. The Lord is God!
That's what everybody's going to do on the last day when the Lord, right up after the tribulation, comes back to get the church up out of this world. They're going to pray for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and confess their knees, or every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to wag, thou art the Lord, thou art God. It's too late for them then, because they lived their life the way they wanted to and not the way that the Lord wanted to. They did their will instead of God's will. And that's what the majority of the people in the world are doing today. And so you all, those of you that are not yet doing the will of the Lord, you may say you're Christians, but that doesn't mean that you are. You have to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord. You have to be, your old life has to be crucified with Christ on the cross, because Christ took your place there. But now you have to take your place there after you realize that he took your place there. And then be resurrected and be involved with his ascension, and be sitting with him in the heavenly places where he's now pouring out his Spirit upon you if you're seeking him, or like praying to him constantly, seeking his direction, his communion with him, and your communion with him, and his communion with you, so that you can have clear direction like this. You might go out today, get in the car, and the Lord wants to tell you that you're going to get killed there. Better stay in the house, or better go a different direction. But if you're not communicating with him, you don't know what in the world's going to happen to you today. Okay, then what? I always ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to go here, or do you want me to stay here? Stay inside today, or do you want me to go over to this place or some other place? And he'll tell me, oh, it's all right today. Go downtown, or go out to this area or that area. And the Lord said, he's no, stay in. But Lord, you know, I don't say, but Lord, I want to go here. I just go what the Lord says. That's the way I stay preserved all these years. Okay, then what else?
Verse 40. Then Elijah commanded, quote, seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape! Exclamation mark, unquote. So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley and killed them there. Elijah prays for rain. Verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, quote,
See, there was no rain, and it was a horrible drought then. And so that was really something to pour all that water on that wood. Amen?
Amen.
My Lord and my God, you know. Make sure you got all your canteens filled, right? Your water jugs. Okay, then what?
Then Elijah said to Ahab, quote, go and enjoy a good meal, exclamation mark.
No, I mean that's before about prayed for water.
Elijah prays for rain. Verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, quote, go and enjoy a good meal, exclamation mark. For I hear a mighty rainstorm coming, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 42. So Ahab prepared a feast. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and fell to the ground and prayed. Verse 43. Then he said to his servant, quote, go and look out toward the sea, unquote. The servant went and looked, but he returned to Elijah and said, quote, I didn't see anything, unquote. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look, and seven times he went. Verse 44. Finally, the seventh time his servant told him, quote, I see a little cloud about the size of a hand rising from the sea, unquote. Then Elijah shouted, quote, hurry to Ahab and tell him, quote, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 45. And sure enough, the sky was soon black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Verse 46. Now the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel.
All right. That was the chapter 18, 1 Kings, 46 verses, and now the commentary.
18 verse 3 through 4. Although Elijah was alone in his confrontation with Ahab and Jezebel, he was not the only one in Israel who believed in God. Obadiah had been faithful in hiding 100 prophets still true to the Lord. Verse 18. Instead of worshiping the true God, Ahab and his wife Jezebel worshipped Baal, the most popular Canaanite god. Baal idols were often made in the shape of a bull, representing strength and fertility, and reflecting lust for power and sexual pleasure.
Okay, so the most popular thing is not hardly ever the right thing. It was popular to do the same things during the time of Noah, and all the people in the world were killed, destroyed, drowned, because they were doing the popular thing. And people today, they love to hear rap music and all these other versions of rap music, such as hip-hop. And also, popular today is homosexuality. And popular today is lesbianism and fornication and adultery. And let's try out to see if we're going to be compatible in marriage. Instead of serving the Lord, and even Christians are marrying people outside the body of Christ. And that's a popular thing to do today. But remember, the mob is always wrong. The multitude are always wrong. The Bible says that the multitude, the whole world, is deceived. And they're going to hell in the lake of fire. And they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They're ignoring God. They've forgotten God, those that have known God. And God says those that forget God, he'll tear them to pieces. And so, you know, it says the most popular. Read that part again.
Instead of worshiping the true God, Ahab and his wife Jezebel worshipped Baal, the most popular Canaanite god.
The most popular Canaanite god. And what happened to Jezebel? She was eaten up by the dogs. And Ahab was killed. All right, then what?
18 verse 19. Ahab brought
And what happened to Elijah? He was taken up to heaven in a chariot. Amen?
Amen.
And he came back, his spirit came back into the body of John the Baptist. And a lot of people today feel that John the Baptist is going to be one of the two witnesses. But Jesus said, John the Baptist that Elijah's going to come back again. But Jesus said that John the Baptist was Elijah, even though John the Baptist said he wasn't Elijah. But that is one of the reasons why people didn't believe. There are a lot of people that believe in Christ, but a lot of them may have fallen away because the Bible states that that prophet must come back to the world before the coming of Christ, and he denied that he was Elijah, so people didn't believe that that was Christ, some of them. All right, and then what?
Ahab brought 850 pagan prophets to Mount Carmel to match wits and power with Elijah and Elijah's God. Evil kings hated God's prophets because they spoke against sin and idolatry and undermined their control over the people.
Right, I speak against sin and idolatry as well. And is there any wonder that they make up all the stories about me that they do, the government, and they slander us and all the other Christians that believe in the Lord and hate idolatry and sin and love the Lord? Then what?
With the wicked king's backing, many pagan prophets sprang up to counter the words of God's prophets.
That's what the whole news media does, and they exalt the wicked Catholicism and any other religion, and they hold them in high esteem, but they call the true people of God cults, when in reality they are the biggest, most treacherous, hateful cults in the world. They kill Christians, but the Christians never kill them. We just preach the gospel to them. We don't believe in carnal weapons. Our weapons of warfare is the Word of God, the double-edged sword. We're wise as serpents, we're supposed to be, and harmless as doves. But they have burned Christians to the stake, thrown them to the lions, have done horrible, tortured them for years. And look at what they did at Waco. Those people were preaching the gospel. I don't know anything more than that about them, but I've had a lot of David Koresh's tapes, and I've heard him, and he's right on. And if anybody wants copies of those tapes, I'll be glad to send them to you. He preaches the full gospel. Actually, what he was an offshoot of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. All right, and next.
But Elijah showed the people that speaking a prophecy wasn't enough. One needed the power of the living God to fulfill
it. Let me interject here something. But the media has made David Koresh look like a devil, that he was having sex with other people's wives, and that he said he was God. David Koresh never said anything like that, or to my knowledge, did anything like that. They threw me in prison for the gospel. They said I didn't pay income tax, and I pay my tax. I even offered to the press to swap tax bills with anybody, and nobody took me up on it. But I've taught when I was in prison for the gospel's sake, for the Christ's sake, I was in there with a few of those people, and they said he was right on. And then a drummer called me after I put out a piece of literature called The Waco Massacre, and he said, man, I lived there with those people. They invited me down to be in a session with them. David Koresh used to play the guitar, and I would go down there and play the drums, and we'd go in go-karts, and the guy was a lot of fun, and he was normal, and he was a Christian. And that's what they said while I was in prison. They're holding those people in prison for something that they didn't do. I put out a piece of literature about how one of the government agents, federal government agents, he was an undercover FBI man, had he was supposed to go. He had something to do with the bombing at the federal building in over in Oklahoma City, and they tried to get him to go to help kill David Koresh. He said they never went down there to arrest him, that they were all laughing about it. They went down there to kill him, murder him and all the people there. And you can have a copy of that track. What do we call that piece of literature?
Evil One World.
The Evil Agents. One World Government pieces.
Agents.
Agents.
Are pretending to be.
Are pretending to be United, the U.S. government, or something to that effect. And the man's name was.
John Peeler.
John Peeler. John Peeler was the former FBI agent, undercover, and he refused to go there. And he's the one that called us, me up, and gave the story to one of our men in the church. And then I talked to him on the phone, and I put the literature out by the millions, and many other government agents have called me up since and told me that what Mr. Peeler told you was just not even touching the tip of the iceberg. John Peeler, the former undercover FBI agent, stated that they called it a turkey shoot. They just went down there to have some fun to murder Christians. And who, you know, there are some people that said they took full responsibility for that. And that was the lesbian attorney general and Mr. Clinton. I mean, these people are out and out Vaticanites because the Vatican says they're against homosexuality and abortion, but yet they're the ones that have made it federal orders. They control the country. Can't you see that if you were the devil, wouldn't you say, I'm against this, and then you just go ahead and do it? There's a lot of people that I knew when I was a kid that says what they're going to do is go and burn down a building on one side of town and get all the fire department and the police over there while they go in and rob somebody else's place on the other side of town. But that's all Satan does. He's just got everybody hoodwinked. If you and fool deceived, as the Bible calls it, the Word of God. And so if you want to be deceived, well, then just believe what the media says. But they've got you thinking one minute that the Germans are against us and the Japs are against us. And they're the ones that gave them the money to build an army and told them false things about us and other countries so that they'd go and fight them. Then they came to us and told us, hey, you people are going to need some finances here to fight the Germans and the Japs. The Vatican banks, the world banks, will loan you the money for it. And so the officials in the United States said, oh, okay, we'll take it. Then the Vatican bank said, well, how will we get our money back with interest? And so the officials, the president, FDR, stated, well, we'll just raise the taxes. And so the Vatican says, well, then we want to be the one to collect the taxes. So let's call the agency in the United States that collects the taxes for the war that they started. Let's call it the Internal Revenue Service. Now, why do you think they put me in prison? It's because I wrote this up before. And I'm saying it on radio right now. And it's on our website every day of the week. You can contact our website at any time. What's the website number?
AlamoMinistries.com.
And the other one? That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, AlamoMinistries.com. I don't take care of that part of the ministry. Okay, and then let's continue on.
18 verse 21. Elijah challenged the people to take a stand to follow whoever was the true God. Why did so many people waver between the two choices? Perhaps some were not sure. Many, however, knew the Lord was God, but they enjoyed the sinful pleasures and other temporary benefits that came with following Ahab and his idolatrous worship.
That's the way they do today. A lot of people say, yeah, we know there's a God, a heaven and a hell, but aren't we supposed to do what the government says? No, the Lord says you have to keep yourself separate and you're not to follow any instructions or commandments of any government that is opposite of the Lord. Now, you know, the speeding laws and paying your taxes, fine. And there are a few things that are all right, but you're not to be aborting people, like they say, or marrying a homosexual or same sex. or commit adultery, fornication, or any of the other things that they're telling you to do. And you're not to be saying that the Bible is bad, because that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Or that the Bible is a myth, like John Paul II says, and this new pervert who calls himself God's vicar on earth. He's Satan's vicar on earth. Believe that and live. Okay, then what?
It is important to take a stand for the Lord. If we just drift along with whatever is pleasant and easy, we will soon discover that we have been worshiping a false god, which is ourselves.
Which is yourself, or somebody else's idea, or some of the false teaching, or all the false teaching that you see today, or even part of it. Because you not only will be doing that, but you'll be spending eternity with them. Okay, then what?
18, verse 29. Although the prophets of Baal raved all afternoon, no one answered them. Their God was silent because it was not a real God. The gods we may be tempted to follow are not idols of wood, stone, silver, or gold, but they're just as false and dangerous because they cause us to depend on someone or something other than God. Power, status, appearance, or material possessions can become our gods if we devote our lives to them. But when we reach times of crisis and disparity, we desperately call out to these gods, there will be only silence. They can offer no true answers, no guidance, and no wisdom.
Now, have you ever cried out to the Pope for help when you were in desperation, or President Bush, or President Clinton, or anybody else? They're not going to help you. They're doing things that just, they're liars, they're politicians, and they're political, that's it. And they wouldn't even give you a toothbrush if you asked for it. But you better learn to call on the Lord, but He's our only refuge, He's our only help in these last days, or He's the only help that anyone has ever had. Okay, then what?
18, verse 31. Using 12 stones to build the altar took courage. This would have angered some of the people because it was a silent reminder of the split between the tribes. While the 10 tribes of the north called themselves Israel, it was a name originally given to all 12 of the tribes of Israel together. 18 verse 36 through 38. God flashed fire from heaven for Elijah, and He will help us accomplish what He commands us to do. The truth may not be as dramatic in our lives as in Elijah's, but God will make resources available to us in creative ways to accomplish His purposes. He will give us the wisdom to raise a family, the courage to take a stand for truth, or the means to provide help for someone in need. Like Elijah, we can have faith that whatever God commands us to do, He will provide what we need to carry it through. And when He tells us to do something that looks seemingly dangerous, when we know that God is in it, we should relax and know that He's not going to let anything happen if we just do it. 18 verse 46. Elijah ran the 6 miles back to the city in order to give Ahab a last chance to turn from his sin before joining Jezebel in Jezreel.
So that means we're to witness and testify to everybody. Now, a lot of people might think that I'm anti-Bush or anti-Catholic, or I'm against their doctrine, but I'm warning them to repent so they can go to heaven. So how could I be their enemy or when I tell them the truth? This is what Paul said. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Certainly not. Are you my enemy because you lie to me? Yes, but thank God I've got God and I've got His word. I can ignore what you say. As anything other than what the Lord says is a lie. Okay, then what?
His run also ensured that the correct story of what happened would reach Jezreel.
All right, praise the Lord. Now, that was the 18th chapter, 46 verses, 1 Kings, and the commentary. And now we have the part 6 of receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ. Let's begin right away.
God's redemption. So in the third place, why don't we consider the redemption of God for us? In His
the salvation of God. For why don't we consider what the salvation of God means? What means the salvation of God? Most people just say, well, I'm washing the blood and I read the Bible. There's more than that. Okay, go ahead, read.
In his redemption for us, his will is still only one. God thinks one. Speaking from the point of view of our experience, there's one body, but some of us have been saved recently, and some of us have been saved years ago, and some hundreds of years ago.
But we're still, if we're saved, we belong to one body. Doesn't matter when you were saved, or how long ago it was, or how recent, you still must be in Christ, one person. Then what?
Some were baptized in the United States, some in Brazil, some everywhere in the world.
Other places in the world. Okay, then what?
Some in other countries all over the world. Although all these different people were saved in different places and at different times and in different portions of time, from God's standpoint, he never did save people to be an individual body. When he saves, he redeems the entire church.
Right now, in other words, he doesn't save you to be an Elijah or a David. The Old Testament is still, we still learn our lessons from it and everything, but now everyone in the Old Testament, with the exception of the prophets and those that believed, were of the body of Adam. But now there's the second man, and that's Christ. Okay, then what?
We are saved at different times in different places, but we still must be in Christ. So we can look at the example of this in the Bible, of the Israelites coming out from Egypt. The entire house of Israel came out from Egypt. The lamb was eaten and the blood applied at the same place and at the same time.
Now the lamb was eaten, which is symbolic of us eating the Word of God, consuming it into our spirits. And the blood was shed, which is symbolic of the blood that was be shed for Christ. The lamb was symbolic of Christ, and the blood was symbolic of Christ's blood that has the life of eternal life in it. And then what?
And at the same time and at the same place, they passed through the Red Sea. From our limited viewpoint, some ate the meat and applied the blood at one place, while others ate the meat and applied the blood several thousand or million houses away. When passing through the Red Sea, somewhere in the
I'm saying that there are many houses in Egypt where everybody had to the thousands or millions of houses because there was approximately 3 to 3.5 million people there. Some people say 1.5 million and so on. But whatever it was, all these houses, the people ate the lamb and applied the blood to the doorpost, which is symbolic of applying the blood of the lamb to the doorpost of your heart, your soul, your spirit. Then what?
When passing through the Red Sea, some were in the front part of the body of people, and others were in the rear end of the group of people.
And some were in the middle of the group of people, but they were all one group, one body, being delivered at the same time. Okay, then what?
They may have been thousands of feet and many minutes apart, but in God's viewpoint, they ate the meat and applied the blood at the same time in Ramses, Exodus chapter 12, verse 37. And passage through the Red Sea, Exodus chapter 14, verse 29, was also done at the same time. For example, when an ant transports his food from one corner of a room to another, he considers he's traveling quite a distance, but from our viewpoint, he is simply moving about in one room. It's the same thing in our understanding. Salvation takes place earlier or later, here or there. But with God, 1,000 years is one day.
And then from God's viewpoint, just way up in the heavens, the earth is like one room. Amen? So
Amen.
People are being saved in this one room, the earth, from one place to the other. From India, Africa, the Northern America, South America. You know, all these different places at the same time. Okay, then what?
Years is one day, that's 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Therefore, in the eternal view of God, we are all saved at one time.
Yes, because we're all in one body. That's why. And one body is one body. You're all part of that body. Then what?
God knows the end at the same time as the beginning.
Now, God's going to pull the whole body up out of this world immediately after the revelation, after the tribulation, rather. And so when he's coming back, all the graves will open up. And every particle of dust, if you were scattered over the ocean or into the trees, the woods, someplace, or wherever, all your ashes will be composed into every particle of it into the same body that you were in when you were living here on earth, when you were alive. And then at that time, your spirit will enter back into the body, because we all have to be judged for the things that we did in our body. And then at that time, if you're saved, you'll be translated into an ecclesiastical body, and you'll meet Christ in the sky and then return with him while you're meeting him in the sky. But if you're not saved, if you've done whatever you wanted to, you did it your way instead of the Lord's, well, you'll be judged and cast into hell, and then hell will be cast into the lake of fire. It's quite simple. And it never changes. It's always been the same. All right, then what?
He didn't save us in our eyes all at the same time, but one by one, individually. He saved us down through the years as individuals, but we all had to be in a corporate body. So he saved us corporately as one man. Therefore, in his redemption, as in his will or plan, and in his creation, his thoughts is still one. He did not plan for his son to have two bodies or two brides, but only one. Nor did he create two persons for his son, but only one. So whether in God's plan or will, in his creation, or in his redemption plan, his thought is only one and one alone. And this oneness is in the body, and the body is of Christ.
Right, and that's why, as I told you about a vision that I had of my wife, just showed the silhouette of her, and she was torn apart. That's what's happening with all the true Christian churches today, is they're so wary of each other, and they're into so many false doctrines. But the Lord has sent me into the world to unite all the true Christians together in one body, and that you'll help. Hopefully you'll help do this, because I'm just one part of the body. There are many of us, and we need to get the whole body of Christ back together again. What it was is I saw her body as a geometric type person, and all of a sudden it split into, I don't know, I can't remember, it was six or seven pieces. It went out. Six or seven factions. It could be very well the seven churches. And then all of a sudden it went out of the frame, and then it came back together. So we cannot be the one bride of Christ or the one body of Christ when we're broken to pieces like that. Now, Satan has really got himself organized here in these last days, and they're really together. I mean, it's like you got the ACLU, Antichrist, you've got the entire news media, you've got the cult in Rome, and all those that have united themselves with her. And you've got the government that the cult is dictating to, and the FCC, and you've got these different, they've got these different satellites all over the world, and they've gotten kings and queens and presidents and vice presidents and governors and all sorts of people united with them. Judges. The president can pick up the phone. If you say something or expose some of the things that he's done, he just picks up the phone and say, IRS, get Tony. Get Tony. He said that I had six Nazi war criminals as my advisors, Mr. Bush said. See, Mr. Bush Sr. Immediately after that, our store was closed in Nashville, Tennessee. And boy, they routed up all the backsliders out of our church, the ones that I had to put out because they were adulteresses on narcotics, drugs, drunkards and everything. They got them to lie, and they threatened them. Some of them they pulled out of prison to testify falsely against me. Get Tony. And so the thing is that if we all get organized together, But, oh, we can't get organized with Tony because there's so much persecution. If you're fearful and unbelieving and untrusting to think that if we all unite together in one body, one spirit, one Lord, one God, one bride, God only has one bride. And if I'm of the Lord and you say, but we're too afraid to be with him because he's too outspoken, he's too opinionated. I don't have one opinion of my own. I'm just telling people what the Lord told me and what he says in his word. You have to begin uniting with us. You know, you've got to start support. We need to start supporting one another. I'm supporting you with the word. I'm supporting you with tracts and literature and Bibles. And through the Lord. The Lord has given me this ability to do that. And, you know, you could help in some way or another. Even if you could help come and babysit for us or something. You could do something. You could be a teacher in the school. You could be distributor, distributing the literature throughout the world. You can do something to become one in the body of Christ. If you're not, then you're considered, in the last chapter of the Bible, one of the fearful and unbelieving, and you spend eternity with the same homosexuals and all the other people that are sinners in this world. Because to not trust God is the worst. You're like a witch. The Lord says we must be obedient and be in one body, in one spirit, and not be afraid, but be very bold. Be courageous. And then the Lord will not withhold any good thing from you. Believe that God will support you and protect you and lead, guide, and direct you. If you're fearful and unbelieving, there's nothing that you can rely on in this world except the Lord. Now, don't be that way. But anyway, keep your mind on those things. Meditate on those things. Meditate both day and night so that you'll be like one tree. The tree of life, which is Christ and his body. The church of God, the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem. We're all only one. There's not two. It's one. So if you believe the way that I believe, the way the Bible tells us to believe, then unite with us now in Jesus' name. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. You've heard chapter 18 of 1 Kings with its 46 verses, translation, commentary, and this has been part 6 of Receiving the fullness of the one body of Christ, the Christ himself, because you cannot be separate from the tree of life. If you are separate, it's like cutting a branch off of a tree and thinking that you can survive without being in the body. Cut a branch off of a tree if it belongs to you. Don't do it from somebody else's yard or the park. And see how long it exists without being in the body of the tree. This is Tony Alamo, Pastor Tony Alamo, and until chapter 19 of 1 Kings, in part 7 of Receiving the Fullness of the Stature of Christ, God bless you and praise the Lord.